Blog Talk Radio.
All right, y'all. Get up out of them chairs. If you're driving, don't get up out your seat, though. Cause it's time to dance.
Shabbat Shalom, Israel family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yarah Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I'll remind everyone to grab your study tools, your notepad, your iPad, your pens, your pencils, your Bibles, your concordance, all those things that you may think that you need for a good study. As always, I'll start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the rain that you're allowing to come down right now to cool us off, for the day was a hot. We thank you, Father, for this moment that you've given us to come together and give you praise and give you honor on this Sabbath day. We thank you, Father, once again for the breath of life that you allow to be in our bodies. And we thank you for the lessons and blessings that you've given us throughout the course of this week. We thank you for putting that shield up in front of us and helping us to get through the troubled times. We thank you, Father, for having faith in your word. For you know that your word will protect us from others and from ourselves. Father, we thank you, and we love you, Father, and we love thy son, Yahushua, for we know it's through his blood and his sacrifice that he made that we are able to come together on this Sabbath day and at this moment. We ask of thee, Father, to open our heart, open our mind to the wonders of your word on this Sabbath day and bring in peace to our spirit. Through your love, through your kindness, through your righteousness, through your being, we thank you, Father, in Yahushua's holy and precious name. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us this holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. I mean, oh, I forgot to ask, can you hear me clearly? If you can, send me a thumbs up. I'm assuming everyone can hear me. This lesson that we want to go through today, the title of it is, have you really been convinced of your choice? And what I mean by that is, you know, just pondering throughout the course of the week, the Father brought some things to my mind. And it was about my life and the things that, you know, the choices that I've made throughout the course of my being here and my Father giving me breath. Looking at my life and looking at my decisions I made. And, you know, and one of the decisions that I made was to following the ways of the Most High. Make that commitment to him. Make that commitment to his word. And over the years, I've, you know, you ponder, you go up, you have your ups, your downs, your turnarounds, and you tend to sit back and wonder, what if I did something different? What if I chose not to walk this way? Where would I be? What would I be doing right now? And most times I go back and I say, the choice that I made was the right choice. You know, but sometimes when those rocky roads or those heavy times come in my life, those things come to my mind. Did I have done things differently? And then I sit back and I compare myself with those in my family, my friends, and I also compare myself with those that are in the Word. And sometimes I think that maybe I should be like this person. Maybe I should get with this person, God. But, you know, when we read the Scriptures, we don't know these individuals went through to get where they are or where they were, where it's written down in the Scriptures. But I seem to, you know, like where they are and wish that I was there. Well, not there, but in that position in my life. And not realizing that my position in my life is where the Father has me. And I have to accept it. I have to accept where I'm at. Like throughout the course of this week, I was just realizing that I have to accept it. Everyone is not going to be like Solomon and have that wisdom. Everyone is not going to be like David, that great warrior. Everyone is not going to be like Samson, with that mighty strength. Everyone is not going to be like whom they choose to be. Everybody's not going to be like Elijah and able to stop the heavens, or Moses and split the Red Sea. But sometimes me as an individual, I was like, oh, why can't I have such greatness? What? And then it dawned on me, it's okay to be Ethiopian who is riding along the road and realize the beauty and the wonders of Yahushua. Or Simeon, the one who helped Yahushua carry that burden. Or that the mature man who wanted to see the day of salvation and held the Messiah when he was a baby. It's okay to be those individuals, those who believe and had little part in the scriptures. And what about those who believe and kept the law, statutes, and judgment and weren't even mentioned? And that's where I was at this week. It's okay to be one of those individuals. It's okay. But, we have to come to accept where we are, accept our lot and what we must do. I'm going to go through a couple of scriptures in regards to some men in the scriptures that we read about. And these individuals did the same thing. They didn't want to do what they were assigned to do. But in the end, they did these things, just like us. However, the Father brought us to his ways and to his truth, to meet and have a relationship with his Son, to acknowledge his word and to keep his word. He did that for us individually. And individually, we must come to accept our lot with the Father and accept it and move on. So we're going to start off in Genesis, chapter 12. And I'm going to read verse 4. And this is talking about Abraham. Or at the time, his name is Abram. His name hadn't been changed yet. And it reads, "Now Yahweh said to Abram, leave your country and your relatives and your father's house and go to that land. Go to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You will be blessed. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who treats you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as Yahweh had told him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarah, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, all his possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they went to go into the land of Canaan. They entered into the land of Canaan. And from here, I went to another source. I went to Jasher, and this is going in chapter 13, verse 22 to 28. If you get a chance, you can read a little bit more. Read a little bit more of chapter 13. But this is the part that I picked out. Jasher, chapter 13, verse 22 to 28. And it reads, "In those days, Yahweh appeared to Abram in Haran, and he said to him, behold, I spoke unto thee these 25 years back, saying, go forth from thy land, from thy birthplace, and from thy father's house, to the land which I have shown thee, to give it to thee and thy children, For there, in that land, will I bless thee, and make thee a great nation, and make thy name great. And in thee shall the families of the earth be blessed. Now therefore arise, go forth from this place, thou, thy wife, and all belongings to thee. Also, everyone born in thy house, and all the souls thou hast made in Haran, and bring them out with thee from here, and raise to return to the land, to the land of Canaan. And Abram arose and took his wife Sarai, and all belonging to him, and all that were born to him in his house, and the souls which they had made in Haran. And they came out to go to the land of Canaan. And Abram went and returned to the land of Canaan, according to the word of Yahweh. And Lot, the son of his brother Haran, went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he went forth from Haran to return to the land of Canaan. The Father took me there, you know, I started there because, you know, when we look at Father Abraham, you know, one of the things that he told him, you know, he told him to leave his country, leave his relatives, leave his father's house. And see, when you read in the book of Jasher, it talks about how he lived in the land, how the father, you know, told him that this land was his, and he left the land of Canaan and went back to the land of his, you know, the land of his relatives. And then he left the land of his relatives and then went to his father's house. And then, you know, when you read in the book of Jasher, it talks about how he dwelled there for a few years. Father brought it back to his attention, go to Canaan. And so one of the things, you know, what comes to mind is the fact that sometimes things don't happen just right away. And we have to come to understand that, you know, life is a process. And in the midst of that process, we go through our ups and our downs, and then we come, and then we realize where we should be. And we make that choice. But we have to go through some things. As the old adage, Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, we don't change our ways overnight. It's a process. But we don't use the fact that it's a process as a reason not to keep going forward. So now we're going to go to Exodus chapter 4. Wait a minute. I don't think I finished reading something. Wait a minute. I showed it. And wait a minute. I stopped at 26. Wait, I got a couple more scriptures to read. And this is from Jasher. Apologize. Verse 27, last scripture I read was 26. I'll read it again. And Abram went and returned to the land of Canaan according to the word of Yahweh, and Lot, the son of his brother Haran, went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he went forth from Haran to return to the land of Canaan. Verse 27, and he came to the land of Canaan according to the word of Yahweh, according to the word of Yahweh to Abram. And he pitched a tent, and he dwelt in the plains of Moron. And with him was Lot, his brother's son, and all belonging to him. And Yahweh again appeared to Abram and said, to thy seed will I give this. And he there built an altar to Yahweh, who appeared to him, which is still to this day in the plains of Mamre. And that ends. So that ends Jasher and dealing with the account of Abraham and understanding that Abraham took him a time before he made that commitment to what Yahweh told him to do. And that's the same thing with us. The Father comes to us, His Son comes to us and bring things to our attention. But we, you know, we always say we human. And it takes a process. It takes a level of convincing. like one of the things that come to my mind before I go to the next scripture is when we deal with, I think it's Gideon. We deal with Gideon and how the father came to Gideon and gave him a task. And Gideon said, "Father, is that you? Is that you? Is that you?" And because he didn't know it was him, he tested him. And as we know, the father adhered to what he was testing him about. And then, Gideon did it again. He was like, "Look, I'm not trying to make you mad. However, do this." And he did that. And after he did these things, Gideon was convinced and went on and did what the father wanted him to do. And so just understanding we as individuals and being convinced by the Father, being convinced that we have made the right choice. Because sometimes when we make a choice, sometimes we think we made the wrong choice because of the trials and tribulations that we may go through, because we really don't know what we set ourselves up for. So now we're going to go to Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 to 17. And this is dealing with Moses. And it says, and it reads, "Moses said to Yahweh, 'O mighty one, I am not eloquent, neither before now, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue.' Yahweh said to him, 'Who made man's mouth? Or who make one mute or blind? Is it not I, Yahweh? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you should say, what you shall speak.' Moses said, 'O mighty one, please send someone else.'" And I'm stopping right here for a minute. See right here, he's saying, "Send somebody else. I don't want to do it. Why me? Send somebody else." Yahweh's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Also, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. He will be your spokesman to the people. It will happen that he will be to you a mouth, and you will be to him as mighty one. You shall take his rod in your hand, with which you shall do the signs." And what the signs was dealing with different things that what the father was going to have him do to Pharaoh. So the father took me here. This is another brother that the father chose to do his will, who didn't want to do it. But in the end, he did it. Why? Because he was convinced. How he was convinced? He was convinced that his brother was going to do the speaking for him. And because he knew that his brother was going to do the speaking for him, he was okay with it. But in the end, the father spoke through him. Just like one of the things that Rav tell us, it's the father that's speaking through us. That spirit, that one spirit that spoke through everyone, is speaking through us when our time comes to teach his word. From here, we're going to go to another brother that, the father told him to do something, and he didn't want to do it. But he, in the end, was convinced and realized that, hey, I got to do this. But with this particular brother, he still maintained the same feelings. And this is Jonah. We're going to read a couple scriptures in Jonah. We're going to read we're going to start in Jonah 1, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And it reads, "Now Yahweh's word came to Jonah, the son of Amitya, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid its fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh. This brother was told to do something, and he thought that he can run from the Father, not realizing the Father is the Spirit. Father just followed him. Father knew where he was going. As the scriptures say, he know all thoughts afar off. So he already knew the brother was going to run. Why? Because he didn't feel that Nineveh should be saved. Jonah chapter 3, I'm going to read 1 through 5 and then verse 10. And it reads, Yahweh's word came to Jonah a second time. See, the first time it came to him. And in the midst of it, you know, some other things happened. So it says, Yahweh's word came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I give you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to Yahweh's word. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city. 3 days' journey across, Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey, and he cried out and said, in 40 days Nineveh will be overthrown. The people of Nineveh believed Elohim, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from their greatest even to the least. Yahweh saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways. Yahweh relented of the disaster, which he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. See, with this one, you know, I didn't read, you know, go into what happened, but in the midst of him, you know, Jonah getting his word from the Most High and him running, he ended up falling in, you know, went on the ship and ended up falling in the belly of the beast of the sea, a big fish. And while he was in that fish, he was convinced that he should do this. And that's where we get in Jonah chapter 3, where the Father went to him a second time. And then the second time he does it. And see, but now when we get to chapter 4 of Jonah, this is how he was in the beginning. And this is the reason why he ran. Chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 to 4. And it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. He prayed to Yahweh and said, please, Yahweh, wasn't this what I said when I was still in my own country? Therefore, I hurried to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious, mighty one and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and you relent from doing harm. Therefore, now, Yahweh, take, I beg you, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Yahweh said, it is right for you to be angry. See, now this brother was so displeased that he was willing to, he asked the Father to take his life, all because the Father was kind, slow to anger, wanting to show mercy to someone that he felt as though didn't get mercy. But at the same time, we as individuals, we don't have that right to choose who gets mercy and who doesn't get mercy. It's the Father who he chooses to give mercy to. But he said, it's okay for you to be angry. What does Scripture say? Be ye angry, but sin not. So he understood him being angry, but he wasn't going to condone him in doing sinful things. And being sinful is trying to take your life, thinking that you shouldn't live. Because that's what this brother was. But well, this is what this brother had in his mind, that he shouldn't live. Because the father showed kindness to someone else. So, you know, like I said in the beginning, accepting, being convinced that the choice that you have made in walking with the Most High was a good choice. Yes, we get angry. Yes, we get sad. Yes, we get disappointed. But in the end, the Father is constantly showing us loving kindness. He's constantly convincing us that you did make a good choice by choosing me. Because part of the humdrum moments in the scriptures, those times in which people are not doing so well, but they all are doing well in that spirit and understanding that they have a connection with the Most High, that they have a connection with the Messiah, that they have a connection with the Word. And sometimes we have to come to understand that it's okay to be just that mere believer, that one who loves the Most High, who loves His Word, and loves doing goodness and kindness and showing His Word to others. We don't all have to be in the limelight. We don't all have to be up front. Because as we review the scriptures, it was never a whole bunch of people up front. It was just a few. One here, one there, one in another place, preaching and talking about the wonders of the Father. And everyone just loving to hear the goodness of the Father from that one person. Because when we look at it, in the beginning, that's how He dealt with it. Information was passed down from father to son, from father to son. And the fathers taught their families and told their families. And their sons told their families. And their sons told their families about the goodness of the Father. Like I think I read last week, and I read the Shema. And it was talking about how when you sit in your home, when you walk on the way, when you sit in your home, you give praise and talk about the Most High to your family. And what does that do for the Father? That lets Him know that I'm being thought about, being talked about. When we sing praises to Him, He knows that we're acknowledging Him. And sometimes, I'm going to say within myself, I got a little selfish. I get selfish at times. And then getting selfish at times, wanting levels of acknowledgement. But who am I? I need to understand, who am I that I need some acknowledgement? I'm no different than anyone else. The Father talks about He's no respecter of person. He talks in His Word about the stranger who does His Word and does His will. He is one of His. He's no longer considered a stranger. Why? Because He is doing the will of the Father. He becomes one of the Father's. As man, we look to that person and look at him as being someone different when he's not. When we look at someone who claimed to be doing the Word and not doing the Word, and we still acknowledge them as being a brother or being a sister, or being a family member. Everyone that says peace, peace, does not mean you peace. Everyone that bids you shalom may not be your brother. But let us all be convinced in keeping the law, statutes, and judgment, and be convinced that Yahushua has laid His life down for us, and that we walk in his truth. We walk in that word. We walk in that life of those words. And understand that the choice that we made was a good choice, and accept our lot that comes with it. Even though we might think we deserve something different, but if we continue in his ways, continue in his word, then maybe you may get something different. But if not, I'm okay. See, I think we all have to, you know, get to the point where we like those three Hebrew boys when they was in the midst of Babylon, and they told the Babylonian king, if he save us, good. If he don't save us, good. Well, we are not going to bow down to you, and that's what we have to do. We have to realize that whatever state that we're in, as long as we're walking in the ways of the Most High and giving praise to Yahushua or Mashiach, that we're in good hands. We're in good stead. Let us be convinced that we're doing the right thing. Now, I'm going to go here, this one, but ending with this one. Now we're going to go to Luke chapter 22, verse 3 to 6. And it says, Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, who was counted with the 12. He went away and talked with the chief priests and captains about how he might deliver him. And delivering him is how he might deliver Yahushua to the chief priests and the captains. Verse 5, they were glad and agreed to give him money. He consented and sought an opportunity to deliver him to them in the absence of the multitude. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3. See now, before I read that, see, this brother right here, he made a choice to do something. He was convinced that what he was about to do was the right thing to do at that moment. Because he had, as we, you know, when we read in the scriptures, he had his own selfish desires going on. And what he wanted in life. And what he thought should be done. And so he conspired with the chief priests and the captains to deliver Yahushua. But we know and we understand that this was according to the plan of the Father. This is what we've learned now. Matthew chapter 27, 3 to 5. And it reads, then Judas, who betrayed him, when he saw that Yahushua was condemned, felt remorse, and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I betrayed innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? You see to it. He threw down the pieces of sanctuary and departed. Then he went away and hanged himself. See, this brother was so remorseful for the thing that he done, that he took his life. Sometimes we as individuals, we get to a point where we feel as though that we have made a bad decision, and we feel as though we don't need to live no more. We don't need to live. But life is important. Life helps others. And when we go through bad situations and when we make poor decisions, see, these are learning points. These are lessons so that we can share with others. But if we take our life those lessons cannot be shared with anyone. That wisdom that you acquired through that lesson cannot be shared. So we have to understand that as we walk this walk and we talk this talk, it's not always going to be peaches and cream. It's always going to be doom and gloom either. Sometimes it's just dead and midnight. But if we, as individuals, convince ourselves that our journey with the Most High is supposed to be always on high, always great, we're setting ourselves up for failure. And then on the other side, if we always thinking that our walk with the Most High is all gloom and doom, then we'll never be able to see the goodness that the Father has given us, because we're always seeing things as being bad. So we have to balance it out. We have to balance it out. We have to take the bitter with the sweet, the good with the bad, the ups and the downs, the lefts and the rights, so that we can truly understand what life has to offer and how utilizing the instructions of our forefathers or our foreparents or all those who came before us and learn from them. Not saying that we're going to do everything picture perfect, but at least we have information to give us a choice. Give us a choice to convince us that we have done the right thing and said that Yahushua is my Savior, that Yahushua is my Redeemer, and I will have an opportunity to meet the Father because Yahushua says so. And I believe it. Hopefully you believe it also. But going back to the title, have you really been convinced of your choice? As I journey on this day, I'm coming to understand that there are certain things that may not just be for me. And as we say, you have to accept your lot in life, whatever it may be. And may the Father convince you in his way, but we have to have an ear to hear and an eye to perceive what he is putting down for us, so that we can be just like the individual in the Word, those individuals that we read about, who were convinced. And they went and shared it with others. And the more we share it with others, the brighter that spirit becomes on us, the more that light will be shared with us, the more that light will be illuminated in this world. So family, hopefully this narrative that was read about some of our forefathers and dragging their feet and doing things that the Father asked them to do, and how he didn't get mad with them. He just showed patience. And in him showing patience
brought these individuals to a point in their life where they was convinced. And they took the bitter with the sweet and walked with Yahweh, walked with Yahushua. For as we walk with Yahweh and walk with Yahushua, that journey will end with us meeting the Father. Because that is the goal, to meet the Father. So as we study the Word, day in, day out, as I think Solomon said, meditating on that Word, every opportunity you get, it will convince you. It will change you. Because that's what the Father said the Word will do. It will change you. I think Paul wrote, it will renew your mind. Make it new again. Make it innocent again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for granting me an opportunity to come before your people on this Sabbath day and speak according to your words. May your words open their minds to receive the wonders of your truth. May they sit, listen, your spirit has to say to them so that they can be convinced in their mind. As your scriptures say, let each man be persuaded in his own mind that what he is doing is right and true. Father, we thank you for your tender mercies and your loving kindness. We thank you for the breath of life that you have given us on this Sabbath day. We thank you for the healing that you've given us on this Sabbath day. Thank you for the strength that you've given us on this Sabbath day. But ultimately, Father, we thank you for your love, peace, and your joy. Or we thank you for the fruit of thy spirit that you share with us on a daily basis. And we thank you for the protection that you give us on a daily basis. And we thank you for your son, Yahushua. Protect us from the adversary. He gives us the strength that we need protect ourselves. We have a sign. Father, we ask that you to continue to strengthen us in our conscious mind as well as our unconscious mind so that we can fight against adversary. For our belief in you and belief in thy son strengthens us to have the will to resist him. We thank you, Father, once again, for choosing us to walk in your ways and walk in your truth and to give honor to your son, Yahushua. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, healed of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael, and listening family and listening audience. May you all have a peaceful Sabbath.
May you all have a restful slumber. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom. You all have a peaceful slumber.
I sit at the feet of kings in the morning, in the dawn of my rise. In comes to the blessed and most learned leaders, godly and wise. Just imagine sitting in the council of righteous kings. Thousands of years condemned in a written testimony. Yow, sing a song of a rejoicing man. Yeah, hallelujah. An amazing grace I swept over the land. Hallelujah. Sing a song of a rejoicing man. Yeah, hallelujah. The Messiah in woman and man. Hallelujah. Now understanding that which was not known. Thought it was me, but there were angels all around. The more I learn, I see how much I don't really know. Came into my life and shake the negative down, blessing me with strength when my weakness is above. These angels, the real people I man I know. The offerings of the righteous, the God's inspired word. So I give unto thee thanks and praise. Sing a song of a rejoicing man. Yeah, hallelujah. An amazing grace I swept over the land. Hallelujah. Sing a song of a rejoicing man. Yeah, hallelujah. The Messiah in woman and man. Hallelujah. And so me sing with joy, counting my blessings, yeah, yeah. One way is life, no blood. Full grace, full deliverance can be our destiny. For in this life we burn. Beginning of which is the Almighty, yeah, yeah. A blessing for all mankind. A proverbial stand, clear for all we to see. Sing a song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah. An amazing grace I swept over the land. Hallelujah. Sing a song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah. The Messiah in woman and man. Hallelujah. In the morning, while I'm waking, giving praises, silent talking, conversing in my mind, trying to be real and honest with me, giving time, getting set in my way. In my prayer, in this day, now look far, for here come it wisdom, extolling, a God bless deliverance, pray, sing that song of a rejoicing man, yeah, hallelujah, an amazing grace, I swept over the land. Hallelujah. that song of a rejoicing man. Yeah. Hallelujah. Be that song. Be that song. See that song. Sing that song. Give that song. Live that song. See that song. Sing that song. Live that song. Be that song. See that song. Sing that song. Live that song. Live that song. See that song. Sing that song. Live that song. Live that song. See that song. Sing that song. Yeah.
Kingdom come, yeah. I am
burn my pride.
Thank you. like standing with God above through his one and only Son, the anointed one. Separated by sin till he built a bridge of love so I can cross over it to the other side, eternal life.
You have clean hands. Sometimes